Welcome to the Christful Podcast, episode 5. And my name is Matt.
And my name is Adrian.
And today we're going to talk about how we went from being the top club promoters in the city
to now being the top Christ promoters in the city.
What are the problems with the Catholic Church?
And what are the problems with modern Christian dating?
And without further ado, let's get right into it. So how's it going, Adrian?
It's good. How about you, bro?
I'm good, yeah. So me and Adrian, we met just recently through David, the guy who was in the previous podcast, a guy who I just randomly DM'd from YouTube.
I randomly DM'd him too.
man, there's not a lot of us born again Christians, man.
Not a lot that have the zeal and the courage to do what we're doing right now. That's what I would
say.
But that's what the scripture says. The gate is narrow, right? Mm. So for us to even expect a lot of us, it's foolish on our part, right?
Exactly. Broad is the path to destruction. Yeah, that's a great Bible verse. Mm-hmm. So our backgrounds, I heard that you're also an ex-club promoter.
Yep.
Yeah, same dude.
Yeah.
How long did you do it for?
I was doing it on and off here and there, but more so from the club promoting, like, being in the party scene for a long time. It's actually crazy, bro. They used to call me Sladrian.
Sladrian.
They used to call me Sladrian.
That sounds badass.
It's pretty badass. But then after that, like, you know, after coming to Christ, you know, now they start calling me Pradrian.
Ooh, I mean, that sounds more badass, play on to role, be honest.
Play on words, you know?
Yeah.
But
add an alter ego name as well. Mine was Matt Levine.
Matt Levine?
Yeah.
Why Levine?
Honestly, I just Googled classiest last names on Google, like straight up. It was like the second one. Levine. I think the first one was like some French name, but they're all mostly French names. And I wanted to, for promoting, I wanted to be like a brand, right? Mm. And my real name is not that. My real name is like, it's like a Spanish name. It's Filipino, Mateus Moreno, right? But I wanted it to sound like more celebrity. So like Matt Levine.
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, the more I started using it for promoting, I would just hear, like, I would walk down the street and I would hear my name, Matt Levine, right? It would, people would remember it. Mm-hmm. It has that, like, classy ring to it. Mm-hmm. So I did it just for branding.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty dope, bro. Like, I never did that, but, you know, like, my Instagram handle is Life with a Drizzy because I was a huge Drake fan.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I was playing ball, one of these guys called me A Drizzy. And then after, then people start calling me Adrizzy. And then now everyone calls me Drizzy, right? So I guess that would be my my brand, I guess.
The promoter brand. So yeah, it's kind of interesting for a lot of people that know us from the nightlife scene, it's like, you know, you became all of a sudden religious. It's kind of like a 180. Mm-hmm. We're like, you know, we're in the environment that sin was very promoted in that environment, right? And then we completely go 180. Mm-hmm. And people are asking all the time, like, what happened to you, right? Did you ever have those situations?
Yeah, everyone thought I was either crazy. They thought I was hypocritical. They thought, like, yeah, this guy's speaking some facts, but, like, I know the real Adrian, you know?
Yeah.
And then they kept trying to identify me. Like, that's the thing when you become born again, you cross this line and now you identify as a follower of Christ, a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't understand what that means because you're kind of in a different plane of reality now. So you're not really in the material world anymore. That's how I can best explain it. So the thing is, the material world has a certain weight to it, a gravity to it. And that's like the world, your friends, you know, your family and stuff like that. So they won't allow you to break free of that identity because they're so used to that identity. You breaking free of that identity changes their relationship with you.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel like, when I was like doing that, it was like a real hard, like, you know, path to just rip apart.
Yeah.
Know, that bondage.
Yeah. 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 It feels like, no, I definitely know what you mean. It's like, especially like a lot of your friendships are built on in that environment, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of, did you lose a lot of friends?
Everyone. It got to a point, like, so, like, you know, I was like when you're in the party scene, right, you're super connected to so many people. Like, you're the guy, like, your Snapchat is just blowing up, you know, whenever it's a Friday night.
100%. Right?
It's like, yo, what are you saying?
My phone What's still blows up on a Friday night.
Yeah.
Even though I started posting Jesus stuff,
yeah,
I still get messages from girls saying, do you still promote this club?
Yeah.
I'm like, honey, I'm retired.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That happens. That's going to happen, bro. But you know, like, when you first start, when you first start following Christ, the first couple relationships are the hardest ones because they feel the immense gravity of you following Christ. So letting go of that those relationships are definitely the hardest, and they cause the most pain. And I used to actually be cheesed, like, at God. I used to be like, yo.
Did you have a coming to God story?
I would say, in a sense, yes.
For me, it was my ex, you know, being in a super toxic relationship with my ex-girlfriend. And that kind of brought me to Jesus, made me realize the things that I'm doing.
Yeah.
That was like messing with the relationship.
Yeah. I had that as well in my life, with an ex as well. That one, that was really tough. But what I realized is that I was kind of that guy who was like, if I was dating a girl, I'd call her my shorty after maybe a week or two. But that was just my playful Adrian flirtiness talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at a certain point, you know when the girl presses you, like, oh, so what are we? And I was just kind of like, I guess you're my girl, right? And I just kind of went along with the relationship like that. And at during that time, I was kind of like, yo, I really like this girl. I actually really liked her. But at the same time, was I ready to be in a relationship? Not really. But at the same time, I was also doing things that were relationship-like. So I was like, why not?
Yeah.
And what I realized through all that process was that I was doing relationships in such a worldly way, not just with like intimate relationships with like your girl, but like relationships with friends and stuff like that. It was very worldly. It wasn't calculated at all.
What does that mean, like worldly?
Worldly as in like not calculated. It was more so like I dab someone up and now they're my friend, or I dab someone up or I see this guy playing ball and now he's my boy. And I feel like we use these terms so loosely, but when we don't vet people in our life, when we don't qualify them to be in our life, we are setting ourselves up for a future tax that we have to pay for not qualifying.
You're kind of at the effect of things. You're not at the cause of things.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's when things blow up in your face because, you know, Christ says there's, you know, the wise and the foolish builders, right? I was building my life foolishly. Think of me building a house and I'm like, you know what? This camera, this plan, let me use that as the base. And then I get this camera and this mic and I'm like, okay, this is going to be next pillar. Sounds ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
So we actually, like most people have no wisdom. So we actually build our lives like that because we're just reacting to society. We're reacting to life. But when the flood comes, and the flood always comes, some people are just, you know, they just don't realize that the flood hasn't come yet.
Yeah.
But it always comes. And fortunately for me, right,
you can count it came early. Yeah.
Right. So when it came early, that's when I realized, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm doing everything wrong. And that relationship, like
so
you said,
what was the flood in that situation that brought you to Jesus?
Yeah. So the flood in that situation was there was a cheating incident that happened.
We cheated.
I didn't cheat. She cheated. Yeah. And it was actually a bit more complicated, but I don't want to get into the details. But essentially, there was infidelity, but there was, you know, my ex from my previous ex got involved, and there was a whole other ordeal. And then I was kind of like all this stuff was getting hit at me. And truthfully, like in that situation, I was kind of like, you know what? I didn't do anything wrong, but what I did do wrong, and what I had to own up to, was I wasn't wise in building that aspect of my life. So the onus falls on me. And I think that's the truth about what it means to be a man. It's a high risk, high reward in being a man in this world. Yeah.
Wait, what does that mean? Like,
you can either create the best life that you want as a man, or you can screw it up completely and create the worst life.
Yeah.
But the responsibility is on you.
How did that bring you to Jesus though?
So how it brought me to Jesus was I was extremely broken. And here's the thing, when you get broken because you're with someone that you truly love, you lost that relationship, or it's an immense amount of loss or trauma involved, when that stuff happens, but you also have a background in club promoting, partying, and secularization,
mm-hmm.
the first thing that you want to feel is feel good because you feel horrible. You went through this crazy catastrophe.
Mm-hmm.
And how you seek that, you go back to that scene. And when you go back to that scene, that kind of becomes your therapy in a sense. And you know how that goes, you know?
Yeah.
Because then the drugs come in and then, you know, the girls come in and then you start fornicating with a bunch of girls that you just meet on the first day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, your ego starts coming in, right? And then you start thinking like, you're the guy, you're the top G, you know?
It's like, screw my ex.
Exactly, screw my ex.
Yeah.
And then you got all these girls.
I'm going to get a hotter girl.
Yeah, exactly. Then you're like talking to all these random things about, you know, your relationship with your ex. Yeah. And like, these girls are trying to like, you know, they're trying to like validate you and tell you like, yeah, you know, she wasn't this and blah, 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 blah. And then they still want to, you know, do stuff with you and all this stuff happens. And it's just the healing place. It just, it digs a deeper hole.
So you went through that
mm-hmm.
downturn. Now, how did that bring you to Jesus?
So at that point, I had to really check myself on like, how do I really want to live my life? Like who, you know, you have these conversations. Was I raised to be this guy? You know, my parents.
Like doing degenerate stuff.
Right? I think about my parents. I'm like, man, my parents are good people, you know, and they didn't raise me like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they raised me to be smart, competent, you know, a good guy, but a noble guy, an honorable guy with integrity and all that stuff. So I had to really check my values. But here's the thing. I was Catholic, but I didn't know what Christianity was. So then I started going into like apologetics. I started looking at these debates, Muslim versus Christian, Hindu versus atheist, agnostic versus Christian. I would have considered myself at that point an agnostic.
Yeah.
But an agnostic is just someone who's ignorant. You know, they just don't know, you know, so they don't know. And the flood hasn't come yet. That's why they're agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I'm doing is fine. That's how they go about life. And then that's when I started to realize the sheer like truth that is held within Christianity. And it was just undeniable. Like it made sense from a practical standpoint. It made sense logically. I have roots from my dad's Hindu. My mom's Catholic. I had roots there. When I was looking at what it really means, like what is the greatest ethic of this world, I think is love. Mm-hmm. Love is the greatest ethic. And the embodiment of love and where that love is manifested is in Christ.
Yeah.
That is the truest, perfect form of love.
So you almost, you came to Jesus almost from a logical perspective. It's like, this makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, because for me, it was very different. It was, I always feel like Jesus talked to me. Mm-hmm. That's from my experience. It's like I was so broken from this girl that I had to pray to God and ask him for help to be able to get me out of that relationship.
Yeah,
it was more of like directly talking to God. It's like, hey, if you're up there, like really, I need your help right now. Mm-hmm. I can't do this without you. And then he just answered. And then, man, prayers work.
Prayers work,
and then from then I started doing researching, started looking at like Christianity, started understanding, started reading the Bible, and then it all came, kind of that floodgates just fully open. And then I started. I was still promoting at the time, and I realized that, man, this is so wrong.
Yeah, you're so off.
Yeah. when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you also start to notice things that are like bad. Things that are good, you start wanting the fruits of the Holy Spirit and not the fruits of like evil, right?
Yeah.
You become, what do you tell people is like, I become like evil sensitive as well.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. I think I was explaining this to you guys, like, when we saw each other street preaching, I was saying like, when you see, when God reveals to you the highest form of good, the highest form of love, the highest form of truth, the highest form of integrity, discipline, devotion, and grace and mercy and forgiveness, when those are revealed to you and you taste them, now you know the highest form of good.
Yeah.
So your reference point is like the ceiling. It's like the sky.
Yeah.
So now when you kind of look where you are and you see what's happening, you actually see the darkest form of evil.
Yeah.
And coming from like a party background, secularized background, we've seen things that we were not supposed to see. And they're seared in our conscience.
Yeah.
And God was like, you saw that? now I want you to see this.
Yeah.
And when we see that, I think God, honestly, sometimes God just, he works in different ways, man. Like sometimes he does these things to us so that we appreciate the goodness more now.
100%.
That we've been in these scenes.
I mean, I'll tell you a story. When I was born again, I started like hanging out with girls. Mm-hmm. Not really like hooking up with them, just like hanging out with them.
Yeah.
Because I also noticed like when I became a born again, I stopped needing sex.
Yeah.
Like I would hang out with girls and they'll be so annoyed that I wasn't making any moves on them.
Yeah.
But I genuinely like stopped wanting.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah. I don't know, like.
The desires don't go away, right? Like
like that burning lust that I used to have, like is gone. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like very like just little. It's just like, okay, just
because whatever. It's not that important. Here's the thing. You were in a place where, you know, you didn't see the higher good at that point in time of your life. Yeah. But now that you saw the higher good, yeah. Right? It's like these things are so waste. You know?
Yeah, I know. It's like physical what am pleasure, I doing? Like
It doesn't even make practical sense. Yeah. You know? It doesn't make practical sense as a guy. So you're kind of just like, you get turned off. Now maybe sometimes, you know, you fall back or you backslide because, you know, you had a moment of weakness or whatever. Yeah. Or, you know, you knew the reality of God existed, but then you're kind of like, oh, it's too hard, too much of a marathon. Okay, let me just like enjoy this a little more while before I can like, you know, really commit.
For me, there's too much pain associated to going back to that life.
That's good, bro.
Like for me, it's like one way, man.
That's good, bro.
Because I know exactly like, man, my mom was watching my last podcast. She's because I was talking about like how many like sexual partners I've had.
Yeah.
She's like, is that true? I'm like,
yeah.
But like, dude, like I've had like hundreds of like intimate experiences with girls. Mm-hmm. Like or hundreds of times I've sinned.
Yeah.
But because I've gone through that path, I know the consequences of going that path. Mm-hmm. I know where it leads to. If it's with someone that I don't really care about or I don't see a future with, there's no point.
Yeah.
And it's just gonna be short term. And I know, you know, from reading the Bible, sins have consequences.
Yeah.
Like I value my relationship with God a lot more than the 20 minutes I'll have like hooking up with someone.
Exactly.
I, you know, like you, I'm pretty sure like you can like dim the lamp that you have. You know, they reference like you got to keep your lamp burning, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
That's, always got to stay dressed and like keep the lamp burning for the second coming. Right. And I want to keep that fire burning in me. I don't want to, like, you know, lose that anointing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, kind of, like, ruin that sanctification process by, like,
yeah. In the book of Psalms, process. In the book of Psalms, it says, you know, we are supposed to be, like, blameless, right? And I was talking to my girl about this, and I was like, yo, what do you think the word blameless means, right? Because I was kind of, like, what does it really mean? Like, you know, like, maybe it means, like, you're white as snow, you know, you're kind of, like, innocent, right? What does blameless mean? And this girl was just like, well, I think it kind of means like you just get blamed less. And I thought about that for a second. I'm like, get blamed less. What does that mean? You know, when something goes wrong, everyone's looking for someone to blame, right? But you as a follower of Christ, they must look at you and they'd be like, this guy's so righteous. This guy's so noble. This guy has so much integrity. I can't even blame this guy.
Yeah.
And that's how God wants us to be. You know, where we are blameless, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that, you know, the path of following God is really refining ourselves to be those men of God who are just so elite. Like, bro,
yeah.
I just think about how elite we could be, you know?
Yeah.
We'd be so elite that, like, no one can cross us.
Exactly.
You know, and we're just so you in our frame. You the just most know
amount of confidence. Guys always tell me this because, you know, in the Red Pill community, they tell you that you get more confidence the more girls you sleep with.
Yeah.
I'm like, the less girls I sleep with, the more the confidence I get.
100%.
Because I just have that inner confidence that inner talk to myself like, yo, I don't just hook up with anyone, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Have you seen that, like, Mike Tyson interview?
I saved myself for Jesus.
Yeah. Exactly, bro. Exactly. There's that Mike Tyson interview, bro, and I forget how it went. I'm paraphrasing right now, but the woman was like, you know, asking him a question, right? And then Mike Tyson, like, with, like, you know, dead ass, just like looking her in the eyes, like, I don't want to interview you because I'm gonna fornicate with you. And everyone was like, yo, what? I don't want right? to like, I don't want to fornicate with you. But I think for Mike Tyson, he believed that so much that like the woman could make him weak. So he was
100%.
He knew that at such a spiritual level that he was like, I don't want to fornicate with you. And he was dead serious when he said
it. I mean, there's a reason why like the Bible, you know, warns us about sexual immorality. Here's what I think though. I feel like it's not even because like Jesus like hates like sex. Mm-hmm. There's a time and place for it. But I think sexual immorality and lust literally puts you in a spiritual submission.
Yeah.
It like distracts you from the truth.
Yeah. For guys like us, bro, like lust, pride, greed, like those are things that like really we struggle with. I don't even think we struggle with sloth as much or like laziness or like even like gluttony to an extent if we're like over drinking and stuff. But I wasn't really like an over drinker kind of thing. I just was kind of like vibes, you know, I'm just here for the vibes. But the thing is that's why it's so important for us to nourish the spirit.
Yeah.
Right. The spirit and the flesh are at war with each other. Think about it. Like they're literally in a boxing ring with each other.
Yeah.
And you're either taking, you know, spiritual wins or fleshly wins. Yeah. Right. So you gotta think like, how do you fight with the spirit? You got your two hands, prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. That's how I think of it. Mm-hmm. So anytime I'm falling victim to the flesh and I need to put the flesh in like a chokehold or a submission, bro, I need to get prayer. I need to fast.
Yeah. I just go back to Jesus' quote, deny yourself and take up your cross.
Mm-hmm.
Every day it's a process.
Yeah.
You know, deny yourself. It's like when it comes to lust as well, it's very hard for guys because we're visual creatures, man. And I was
girls don't make it easy, bro.
I was scrolling through Instagram and I was like, complaining to Josh, I'm like, why is everyone naked?
Yeah.
Why is every chick not wearing clothes?
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy. So I just spent literally like 20 minutes just muting every chick that I know. Like, why are you guys all in bikinis?
Yeah, you know how it is too. You know, back in high school, it was like you're with your boys on the basketball team, soccer team, whatever, and it's like, yo, I met this one baddie from like Aurora, and like, you know, like, let me see your Snapchat. And she sends you a Snapchat and like it's not even that scandalous, but you're like hyped because you're like, oh my gosh, like I'm in, you know?
Yeah.
Now it's like you go on Instagram, just explore page itself is like porn, soft porn.
Exactly.
Right. And now it's like you also can't even date those girls.
Yeah. I mean, no wonder why like guys are having trouble with lust, right? Yeah. And you got to be constantly like guarding your mind from these things, you know? Like,
don't look.
Yeah. Just always like be in prayer, like when it comes to when you're getting tempted, and keep your eye on Jesus when you're in those situations. You know, it's like what matters more to you is your relationship with God or just like this the temporary pleasure that you get from indulging in those things.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's tough, bro. Lust is something that I've struggled with for years, right?
We'll probably talk to guys, and I'm like, we'll probably struggle with it for the rest of our lives, man.
Yeah. To be honest, though, like, I think I've gotten like immensely better at it. And man, you got to take like crazy measures sometimes. You know, like sometimes when I go in like to public places, and you know, when you're in the club promoting scene and stuff, you party a lot. You know where the baddies are and where they aren't. You can see them in the peripheral. You know, so sometimes you actually gotta like, you know, put your head down, not look.
Yeah.
Even like social media, right? Muting all these pages. I unfollowed like 800 people like last month.
Yeah.
Just for because like this girl who happened to be like even my cousin or something, you know, post like a bikini pic. I'm just like, bro, I'm taking that off because here's the thing.
Leave me away from temptation, God.
Exactly. Because the devil, bro, once you understand God, right, and you know how God works, then you're going to understand the devil and how the devil works.
Yeah.
The devil, bro, that guy is he's slick. He's Slick Rick, man. He literally comes, he'll play on one thought.
Yeah.
Just one thought. He'll play on that, and then once that thought starts to marinate, it starts to give birth to fire, you know, in your mind. And then before you know it, those thoughts and that fire that you create in your mind just starts manifesting in your actions, and you're jerking off right then and there.
Yeah.
So you have to like be on guard so much because the devil is like a lion. He's waiting. Mm-hmm. He's waiting to devour you. Some things I've noticed in my walk, right, is that with lust specifically, is that now it's like a game to me. It's literally a game. I've cut out so many things into my life, things out of my life, because of the temptation of lust. But now it's like, let's say I have a beer, just a casual beer, watching a game, the NBA playoffs. Have a casual beer, one beer, not even enough to get you wasted. You know, not, you don't even get drunk off a beer. You have one beer, and the devil will play on that. Oh, you drank the beer. You're not supposed to drink. Are you being a good Christian? Right? Drinking the beer. And to be honest, like, you know, I'm still sober-minded. I had a beer. It's out of enjoyment for the game and whatever. The devil will play on that. The second the devil makes you think that you're down or you're in your flesh or God does not approve of that, the second the devil makes you think that, now you get defeated. And once you get defeated, you're like, you know what? Screw it. I'll just give in to lust today and then start over tomorrow. Or I'll just give into this, you know, greed today and start over tomorrow. Sloth today, start over tomorrow.
Do you think born-again Christians, like, go through that?
100%.
Yeah?
100%.
I mean, yeah, we're expected to fall. It's like, it's kind of like how Jesus had a quote where it says, like, when someone wrongs you, like, how many times are you going to forgive them, right?
Seven times 77.
Yeah, not seven times, but 77, right? So I feel like God expects us to fall.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
What matters is we get up and keep going and don't be too hard on yourself.
God is always saying, my grace is enough. But the devil's always saying, God's grace is not enough.
Yeah.
And it's what you believe, what you choose to believe. That's why we have to remind ourselves, it is the good news. It's good news.
Yeah, it's good news.
That despite the fact that I'm going to fall continuously, my sins are covered.
Yeah.
Jesus died on the cross for me.
Because we're already sinning, man.
Justified.
We're already sinning as well. It's like when you even look at a woman, that's already adultery.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at a woman lustfully, that's already adultery, right? So, bro, like, happens like every day sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I just have to, like, sorry, God, like.
Mm, yeah, yeah. That's
like,
that's,
these girls are not wearing clothes, man. Like, yeah. Like, they don't make it easy.
They don't, bro. They don't. But you know, it's environment. Yeah. Taking yourself out of those environments. It's actually like a renewal process, a refining process. Once you take Christ in your life and you are exposed to the highest possible good, you are officially justified. You know the truth. You know the holy law. You know that that is the right thing to do. And you accept Jesus in Christ as your savior, as your guide to getting to that eternal life.
Yeah.
You are justified. When the storm comes and the flood comes and the judgment day comes and the rapture comes or whatever, God's going to look and he's going to be like, who accepted my son? And he's going to look around. Oh, you did, you did, you did. You guys are justified. Now, just because you're justified when that moment happens doesn't mean your life ain't going to be hard. But if you get justified early and God hasn't come yet, you have a process of sanctification. Now, sanctification is where the real work happens. Justified means you got the job. Sanctification means now this is what you got to do.
Yeah.
Right? Just because you're not going to lose the job because you're already justified. Right? But there is work to be done. Right? You have to pray. You have to get closer to God. You have to develop that relationship with God. You're only going to understand how God works. You're only going to move correct, move wise, discipline, and move with integrity if you know God.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Got to take that Christ pill every day.
Christ pill every day.
Yeah.
Daily deposit.
It's like vitamins, Christ pill.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Daily vitamins. Take your vitamins.
Yeah.
Take your Christ pill. No, 100%, man. Yeah. Don't you feel like high every time you talk about God and Jesus?
Dude, honestly, like, I was talking to my boy the other day, and my boy, he balls up, like, you know, he used to ball up every day since he was 18.
Yeah.
Okay. And I went with him for a workout, and I haven't seen this guy in a minute. And this guy was like, yo, I haven't balled up for 70 days. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? 70 days? And he was just like, yeah, bro, like, I'm just on this new wave. And I'm like, no way, you're capping. There's no way 70 days. Because this guy balls up every day, like, 3-4 times a day. 70 days. And I was asking him, like, tell me about your experience. Like, what does it feel like? He's like, you know that feeling when you first ball up? And by the way, if you don't know what balling up is, it's just smoking a joint, getting high. But when you first ball up, that feeling of this spiritual awakening that's happening in you, right? Because you're like, it's almost like you... you see a certain level of consciousness, and then when the high wears off, you're back into reality. Mm-hmm. He said that that same feeling of you feeling like you have a spiritual awakening when you ball up for the first time, not balling up now, is a bigger spiritual awakening. So he was saying that, like, the reduction in anxiety, the reduction in the clarity of mind, the peace of mind,
yeah,
is a way bigger spiritual, you know, spiritual awakening than when he first balled up, mm-hmm, right? And that was just with carnal things like balling up and not balling up and going to the gym. And, like, it's like someone going to the gym for the first time, someone taking a cold shower for the first time. They're like, oh, my gosh, a cold shower changed my life. Meditation, they meditated for 10 minutes one day, and they're like, oh, my gosh, meditation changed my life. Bro, there's levels to this. There's levels to this.
Yeah.
Being a born again, bro, can change a criminal who used to kill people into a saint.
Yeah.
Right? There are levels of magnitude in terms of spiritual awakening.
I feel that. Like, every time I read the Bible, pick up the Bible, I always, like, kind of get this, like, super euphoric feeling. You feel love in the air. I mean, my roommates, like, can attest to this. I was just come out of the room and, like, guys, yeah, here's what I realized about the world.
Yeah, bro.
I feel like I just had, like, a divine, like, you know, insight.
Yeah.
And, dude, like, I love it, man. I love it.
It's a beautiful life.
Yeah. I think a lot of it, too, also, like, I recently left Catholicism.
Catholicism,
yeah. Catholicism, yeah. Because the more you read scripture, a lot of what's in the Catholic Church goes against scripture.
Mm-hmm.
There's one verse that says, like, you shouldn't call anyone on earth father, right? And they call the priest father in Catholic Church. Mm. Like, why is that? Like, Jesus literally said, don't call anyone else father but the Father above.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Why do they do that?
Well, my estimation would say that they do that because when the priest is carrying out the mass, right, he is a representation of Jesus carrying out the Last Supper to his disciples. So in that moment of carrying out that representation, he is called Father. But I don't think, like, it could mean that that they're saying Father as in God the Father, right? It could mean that. Or it could be a more, like, loosely termed thing, like father as in, like, forefather, mm-hmm, or, you know, fathers of the church or early church father or elder, you know?
Yeah.
It could come from, like, something like that, too.
Yeah, but it's just not for me, man. Like, I think it's a form of idolatry, you know?
Well, I guess it depends on the...
And a lot of the worshiping other saints?
It depends on the heart posture of it, right? Like, this debate could go, like, really deep. And even I'll be honest, you know, like, I'm Catholic too.
Yeah,
you know, I was born Catholic, but now I go to, you know, non-denominational church.
Yeah.
And I'm really in tune with the scripture, but I also still go to Catholic church. And what I would say is that what matters most is your relationship with Christ and if you are born again.
Yeah,
that's what matters most. There are so many people in the Catholic church who are, like, there's deception everywhere.
Yeah.
Right? There are people in the Catholic Church who go just as I'm going Sunday. You know, they go as if it's like they're just participating and then they just leave. Right? But there are also people in the Pentecostal Church where there's a lot of they don't have a grounded theological backbone, and that's why you have, like, all these splits.
I saw this meme, like, online, mm-hmm, of like all these, like, denominations, they're all in heaven, like looking at, like, each other. Like, arguing in the comments.
Yeah.
With each other in the comments, which denomination is the best. But they're all in heaven. You're like...
Yeah.
They're all, like, looking at each other in heaven.
Yeah.
Like, why were we arguing?
But, you know, that's the thing. Like, you know, your relationship with God matters the most. If you're born again, if the Spirit of God is truly manifesting itself through you.
I just know from my experience, as soon as I drop the idea of all these saints, worshiping all these, like, idols, you know, even, like, losing my view on, like, a priest, like not putting them on a pedestal, mm-hmm, in a way,
mm-hmm,
I feel like I'm able to really connect with Jesus better.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm able to see Christianity not with, like, blindfolds on. Not blindfolds, but, like, before I could kind of see it with like sunglasses on, mm-hmm. but now like completely removing all, dropping everything else, bare, and just focus just on bare. Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, it's just much clearer.
Yeah, I definitely think like as a starting point, I think that is like the clearest it gets, and that's what you should focus yeah. on. You know, that's the first because
you
priority. Walk
into like a Catholic church, there's so many like statues, there's so many like this and this, right? So many saints, mm-hmm. you'll learn their stories. Mm-hmm. But me and Josh realized like these saints, they're just guys like us, bro.
They're guys like us.
They're guys 100%. Like us back in the day.
100%. And the truth is like, you know, you have to exercise discernment with these kinds of things, right? You know, like, I'll say, like, for example, like, St. John Paul II, okay? Just making, like, just random saint. Like, yeah, he was a pope, you know? He was probably a holy man, right? But at the end of the day, God knows you when no one's watching. God knows you in your secret place.
Mm-hmm.
All these saints, maybe to the public, they could be, you know, amazing people, humanitarians and whatever, and they're, you know, rightly positioned as saints. But at the end of the day, like, to be a true saint, I feel like only God knows, you know?
Yeah.
Only God will judge. And I guarantee you there's fake saints. I guarantee you. There has to be. It's yeah, completely it's illogical. Like, there has to
I mean,
be
no
fake
one's,
saints.
Like, sinless perfection except for Jesus, right?
Exactly. So exactly.
You have to assume that.
Exactly. But that's why we got to focus on Jesus, right? Focus on Jesus, renew that spirit, and become more like him, you know?
Yeah. Because I feel like it makes it harder if we think all these other saints are perfect.
But here's the thing. We have to go back to the definition of what a saint is, right? A saint isn't saying that they're Christ himself. A saint is saying that we can see elements of Christ within them, and it is very obvious that we can see that.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, the people judging the sainthood are probably people who are of higher rank in holiness or higher rank in, like, you know, their walk with Christ. And they have better discernment of seeing the fruits of the spirit. So yeah, that this is a whole, it's a whole other, bro. Yeah, like I can go into it for like years, but like it's a whole other thing. But yeah, like you said, focusing, like for people like us, like especially Gen Z, I think it really comes back to like, okay, take out all the saints, take out all the commandments, take out all these things, the priesthood, just take out everything. And let's, okay, who's the main guy? Jesus. Let me start there and see where that takes me. Let me start there. Because we have not been taught to develop a relationship with Jesus. That's the biggest problem with the Catholic Church. They are not teaching that. And partly because they're not teaching it is because in the past decades and stuff, they just had so many people coming to church that they probably assumed that everyone was already in relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
The truth is that's not true at all.
And like getting baptized before mm-hmm. you're even like aware, you know, like,
so here's the thing with
getting
that
baptized as a baby.
Here's the thing with that. So I agree and I disagree. Like they're bro, it's all how you look at it. It's the discernment you use, right? So when it comes to the baptism, I agree that when you're baptized, that's your personal, you know, conscious.
Symbolizing your giving your life to Christ,
yeah. Right? Now, the baptism in the Catholic Church, they have the baptism when you're a baby, an infant, but then they have this thing called confirmation. Confirmation is where you confirm that which you have done your baptism and all this stuff. But here's the thing with confirmation. We do it in grade 8, bro.
Yeah,
like,
no,
yo, it's not enough. Like, we should, confirmation should be, in my opinion, like your second baptism or your real, like, yeah, confirmation. And I think that should be not on a, oh, let's yeah, just get all the 1997 year batch and just
yeah, and,
confirm
and
them.
It's like a requirement to get to the next level or something.
Yeah, because naturally with systems, right? Naturally with systems, order, hierarchies, institutions, naturally what ends up happening is there tends to be an indoctrination, you know, that takes place. This is just with all systems, businesses, everything. It's an indoctrination effect that comes from the system. So the Catholic Church, because they're such a huge institution, right? They are just trying to put as many people around the vicinity of the church, and it's a mass indoctrination with the hopes that even if people leave the church, they will still have roots within the church.
Yeah.
Is that ethical? Maybe, maybe not. Who knows, right? Because some people only come back to Christ because they were instituted in the Catholic Church, just like the three of us. You know, yeah. We were instituted in the Catholic Church. If we weren't, let's say we were at the mosque or something, or let's say we were...
Yeah, we'd have different beliefs, yeah.
We wouldn't know, you know what I mean? So there could be benefits, there could be cons. You know, we can debate on how to, you know, really structure it, but I'm sure the people really thought about this. You know, the forefathers and stuff like that. I'm sure they thought about this. But at the end of the day, man, it's you and God, regardless of whatever systems you're in.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that makes sense.
It's pretty deep, bro. But like, it's you pretty know, deep. It gets
I gotta
like
let
that
sink in. I wouldn't be here if I didn't have that roots. Even if it wasn't perfect, I still had that initial idea of like Jesus. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew his name type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, this is what I'm talking about. Every time we talk about Jesus, I feel like, oh, hi. I just gotta like, yo, let that sink in.
That's how it is,
bro.
Do you have any like, you know?
Wait, you
like,
have a girl right now?
Yeah, I have a girl right now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, she's just like recent, but what we're working
born
on
again
is
Christian?
Like, pardon?
Born again Christian?
She's not a born again Christian though. No, she's not a born again Christian.
How do you deal with that?
So yeah, it's actually like, so like in my vetting process, right? So what I try to, you know, instill, I have some non-negotiables, you know, some non-negotiables are like, hey, we got to go to church every Sunday, right? We got to pray together. We got to, get rooted in a church. Those are my non-negotiables. Now, hey, if that's uncomfortable for you, then you don't necessarily have to be there. And I'm okay because I have my relationship with Christ that's more important to me. But that being said, if you do, you know, want to know me, then you need to know who I love the most. And that is Christ.
Yeah. So you recently started dating?
Yeah, recently, yeah.
Yeah. How'd you guys meet?
We just met through mutuals. Yeah.
Nice. Wait, how does that work? Because for me right now, it's like, I don't think I can ever be with someone who doesn't believe in what I believe in.
Yeah. 100%.
It's like, yo, like, I'm going to be reading the Bible. I'm going to be talking about these verses with you. Like, you're going to sit and listen. Like, that's my thing.
Truthfully, bro, it's honestly like something I'm trying to navigate right now. It's really something I'm trying to navigate right now because a part of me, like, I've talked to so many girls, man, and like, I've met Christian girls who have like thrown me into sin.
Yeah.
Right? And I've met non-Christian girls who are like, They don't throw me into sin.
Well, that's the thing. You gotta be saved Christians, bro. Like,
right. So it really depends. I would say, it's definitely a hard thing.
Because being with a non-believer will also kind of affect you, right?
It can. I do think it can. But it can go either way. I do think in most cases, it can pull you down, right? But if you have a very good backbone and you know that. You can hold your frame and you know that Christ is first in your life and you're okay with losing the relationship truly because you believe that, hey, Christ will provide, then Christ will provide. You know, I wouldn't advise someone to be with a non-believer. I wouldn't advise that ever. I would say that it's probably better you're with a believer. But that being said, certain things, you know, God has his way of working. And God has his graces.
Yeah.
He may put people in your life for a certain season. He may be putting people in your life to teach you different things. I have no idea. I just have to be led by the Spirit, pray about it daily.
Or maybe you're that blessing in their life.
Who knows? And that's exactly what the Catholic Church's stance on marriage is.
Yeah.
Because if you talk to, like, I've talked to Pentecostals about this, Protestant people. I've also talked to Catholics about this. And when you talk to, you know, a pastor, they would say, you're unequally yoked. You shouldn't do it. But if you talk to a priest, they say, like what you said, they said, hey, it really depends. So the churches, the denominations have a different view on it, you know? And I can see from my own experience, why both are kind of right. Mm-hmm. Right? It really does yeah. depend.
Because here's what I think, though. No matter, like, as a man, you're a leader of your household.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Like, I was talking to Josh. Like, if I were to meet, like, a girl who's a Christian, but they're not, like, saved, like, I have the confidence in me to actually just, like, Christ pillar.
Mm-hmm. But you're the leader, right? So, you know, no. I truly believe, and this is where I think a lot of the statistics are kind of lopsided.
Yeah.
A lot of women who are believers and they date men who are non-believers.
Dude, disaster.
The man ain't going to listen
disaster.
To the woman, bro. The man's not going to listen to women. My mom is a Catholic. My dad is a Hindu. My dad has not converted to Christianity. My dad may participate out of kindness or out of respect, but he will not convert or even be led by the Spirit by the teaching of my mom.
No, it has to be the guy.
It has to be the guy, you know what I mean? It holds a different level of authority.
Feminist hates this conversation right
feminist
now.
Feminist hates this conversation.
Right, yeah. Women's rights.
Yeah.
Yo, did you know that in the Quran they had a prophecy about women's rights being a thing?
Really?
Feminism?
Yeah. Really?
I looked at prophecies fulfilled by the Quran, and there's about like 100 of them.
Damn.
And they're all about disasters caused by humans.
Yeah. Well. Ain't wrong with that, bro. I could even prophesy that.
No, literally. Like, I looked at the prophecies. Bible fulfilled prophecies and Quran fulfilled prophecies. A lot of, like, most of the Bible prophecies are, like, nature.
Yeah, yeah. Earthquake and stuff like that.
The Bible prophecies and the Quran prophecies. All the prophecies fulfilled by the Quran is, like, this person dying. Like, the war is happening. Muslims, like, taking over this country. Mm-hmm. It's all, like, man-made. Yeah. Or, like, how people acted.
Yeah.
Like people are, there's going to be like sexual immorality become more prevalent.
Yeah.
And all the Bible prophecies are so wholesome, dude. It's like, oh, there's like this lake that's going to open up.
Yeah. You know,
it's crazy.
The thing with like prophecies and stuff like that, right? Like if you look at a lot of religions, man, it's like what I've noticed is that because we are men, right? We are in the flesh, we're humans, right? We're not like fully like eternal beings. We're still like here. We can create these prophecies, these man-made things, and we can predict things, and we're using our logical reasoning, right? Our logical reasoning, our scientific approach, you know, we can kind of foresee, even I can foresee, you know, something that someone's doing and see, that's going to look like this. Or I can foresee how AI is going to kind of go about. I can foresee how electric vehicles are kind of going to go and how transportation is going to be. They're using foresight. Now, here's the thing. Foresight and insight are completely different things, right? So foresight, you know, you're just predicting the future, but you're just kind of estimating. But insight is like a spiritual thing. I truly believe that like, The prophecies in the Bible are spiritual prophecies.
Yeah.
They're not actually like they're natural disasters and stuff, but there's also like double meaning with a lot of these things in the Bible. And I think if you have this spiritual insight, you read the scriptures differently. And you probably notice this too. You could go give the Bible to a non-believer or someone who's not born again.
It won't make sense.
And it won't make sense to them. They won't know what they're reading.
You need the Holy Spirit.
You need the Holy Spirit, right? So that's why the Holy Spirit is like, it's a completely different, they're
levels. Even this conversation, for someone who's listening and you don't understand what we're talking about, don't worry about it. Like, but for people who do, that the Holy Spirit's knocking at your door right now.
Yeah,
and it's like, yo, he's Christ-filling you slowly. And welcome to the big leagues.
Yeah, bro. And the big leagues ain't, They're not easy, bro. It's just like way harder. I was telling you,
this is the ultimate like alpha like life.
Yeah, you have to die,
denying yourself, taking up your cross every day. That's one of the hardest paths.
Yeah, and you know the end. The
end
is
so easy to go back to club promoting and hooking up with girls and all that.
It's not the same, bro. Like, that's kind of waste, honestly.
Yeah,
it's kind of waste.
Like the easy path to destruction.
I try going back, bro. Like, cause I was like kind of like just. You know, I still, you know, I mess with the Afro beats, you know.
Yeah.
Like, I was still for the vibes.
No, but you feel bad now because the Holy Spirit's like slapping you on the shoulder. And like,
it's,
yo.
It's kind of like, bro, like, what am I doing here, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not it, man. Yeah. Thinking of questions.
Yeah.
You got questions?
No, just letting this conversation sink in, man, because it's you don't have these conversations a lot, you know. Not a lot of people can relate to these kind of talks.
You got to get in the circles, right? And then those conversations will like happen. But that's the thing, like the way I'm constructing, like when I was telling you before, like when the flood came into my life and destroyed my life, I had to really figure out, okay, how am I going to build this house again? What am I going to do? Right? Okay, I need a certain requirement, right, to be in my life. Okay? So this is not like a checklist, but kind of a checklist, right? Of things that you need to qualify in order to be in my vicinity even.
Yeah.
Now I got a filter. Okay? Before I had no filter. I dab you up and you're my boy. You know, I throw you a lob and you're my boy.
Yeah, now you're vetting people. Yeah.
Now there's a filter. And the thing with the filter is people get confused. They're like, yo, I want to be close to Adrian. And I'm just like, fam, if you're going to be close to me, bro, like you got to be about this life seriously. If you're not, you're a liability. You're not an asset. Straight up. And I got to tell boys this. And then some guys are like, oh, look at this guy. Who does he think he is? And I'm just like, fam, if you can't come correct, then yo, I can't be around you. That's a standard. Even with women, bro. Even with my girl. I tell her, I'm like, if we're going to be in a relationship,
what's that?
Kingdom standards.
What's that Bible verse that says a spiritual man is able to judge?
Oh, a spiritual man judges all things, yet is judged by no one. He judges all things. Why? Because we see the full spectrum of reality. That's why I can judge things. I can see what you're doing and you don't see it because you're ignorant to it and you're in the material world. I have a spiritual lens, right? Yeah. So I can judge all things. You guys try to judge me?
You're like a spiritual RoboCop, bro.
Exactly. Like, but it's not going to work. It's not going to work if someone tries to judge you because you know they're judging you from a plane that is lower than your plane.
Yeah.
But if a spiritual man judges you, then you got to check yourself. Then I got to be like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why they say a wise man, you know, rejoices with correction, mm-hmm. but a foolish man rebukes correction, right? A wise man will be like, you know what, bro? Honestly, I was moving kind of waste. You're right. You know, I need to, like, I should have done this. Yeah. Okay, I can see where you're coming from. Yeah, I need to go pray about that. And then your boy will be like, you know what, bro? As long as you admit it, bro, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Foolish man will be like, yo, what are you talking about, bro? But you did this.
That's literally everyone.
Everyone, bro. Everyone, man. You know, it's a bunch of sissies, bro. Bunch of sissies, man. All these, even in club promoting and stuff, these guys, they try to act hard, but they're actually sissies. Yeah. You know? And even like when you play ball, you realize this. Like when you play ball, you know, there are guys who like, and everybody knows this, okay? Guys who like, there are some guys who play ball. They have good talent, right? But they'll come and they'll play ball. They'll be chewing gum. They'll have their sweats on, socks over their sweats. And they'll be like, you know, just playing like just cool and whatever. Those are the guys. They actually are good players. But when it comes to the game, when the game is on and you have that competitive edge, if you start talking smack to that person and you start like roughing that person up, they're weak. They're weak because they use their coolness and their swag to mask, you know, the pain that they're feeling, right? Or the insecurities they have. You could spot that so quickly. And so many people in club promoting, you know, and bro, I'm not saying this because I'm here to judge. Well, I am here to judge. Spiritual man judges all things. But I'm telling people this because I was this. So yeah. I see it more because I was this.
That's the thing. We only answer to God.
Exactly.
That's the one. The verse that comes after that, right?
Exactly.
Like a spiritual man doesn't answer to no one except for God.
Exactly. Right. So it's this kind of behavior that I feel like a lot of masculinity is like this these days. Everyone's trying to like, you know, be someone they're not. Everyone's trying to catch trends. Fam, if you're a guy and you're trying to catch trends, bro, what are you doing, bro? Catching trends is for girls, straight up. It's actually for girls, bro. Like, yeah, I get it. Like my girl, bro, she bought these shoes. Okay. She bought these New Balances. Mind you, my girl got no swag, okay? No swag. She got style, but she got no swag, right? She bought these New Balances, and I was just like, what are you doing? And she's like, oh, all these girls, like, wear these now, and like, oh, it's all cute, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you know what? Okay, go, whatever. But you won't catch me doing that, you know? You gotta, if you're your own man, bro, you got to carve your own path. You're evaluated not based off what you wear or, you know, the trends you catch. You're evaluated based on who you are as a man. How much respect can you command when you walk into a room? What do people say about you? Do they say like, oh, like Adrian? Oh, yeah, sick guy. Do they say that about you? That's where your value is. You know, like, what do you think about that? Like, in, like, the club promoting scene and stuff.
I mean, like, I was that guy that they called, like, sick guy.
Yeah.
Without Jesus, though. So, I don't think it even matters at all. Like, mm-hmm. I care nothing about anyone's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because a lot of it is validation. And, you know, trying to be that guy that everyone likes is actually very easy. Anyone can do that. But being that guy that God likes, that's very hard, man.
That's tough.
You know, I still struggle with it every day. I don't feel like I'm good enough. But yeah. But again, you're still meeting the worldly standards if you're going for that, right?
Exactly.
Because you're gonna be persecuted and hated when you go follow Jesus.
Yeah.
People are not gonna like you. You're gonna walk in the room. They're gonna look at you as if you're some lunatic.
Yeah.
Right. And I've accepted that.
Yeah.
If you think I'm like that, you're not meant to be in my life, dude.
Yeah. And that's your filter.
Yeah.
Right. You got the godly filter on.
God filter. And I noticed this with girls too, right? Like, I'm not gonna waste my time with someone who doesn't believe in God. What am I gonna sit here and argue with you about abortion? Like,
yeah,
it's like, yo, get out of here.
I know, bro. I've been there, you know. I've been there. Went on dates with like girls who are like talking to me about this, that, whatever, and I'm just like, yo, straight up, this ain't gonna fly. This ain't gonna work.
Yeah, and a lot of Christians, guys, they don't really have that confidence, in themselves.
Yeah,
but that's where my confidence comes from these days. It's because I'm now a righteous guy. So I want to be with someone who also respects and sees that and appreciates that. Mm-hmm. And it's not very hard, man. Like, I think our options as Christians guys go like, you know, when you're living for the world, your options become
so many,
like,
but
so
they're
many.
Not even that good. The options aren't that good.
Well, now that you know though.
Yeah, exactly.
Where it could be, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's tough. Like, you're going to have way less options as a Christian guy. I'm going to be honest with you. But I have faith that when you do meet that right person that has the values, mm-hmm. who's in line with what you want, who loves God as much as you love God, then I think that's, like, so beautiful, no?
Yeah. I think it is. It is. It is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to have faith that God will give you the grace to... Yeah. Allow that to happen.
The thing
in
is,
your
I
life.
Would rather be single than be with a non-believer at this point.
Yeah, and when you're single, bro, it's like there's a lot of work in your singleness. Like you're gonna be busy when you're single, especially if you're a born again believer and you're single, bro. God's gonna be like, listen, I don't even want to put you near other people. You got issues, bro. You know, you gotta clear this stuff up.
Yeah, because you're operating now, and you're. I always tell guys, like, I know we're running a business together, but we're employed under God.
Yes.
He's our boss.
Straight up.
And he always tells us, he always keeps us busy.
Mm-hmm.
You're always like, the Holy Spirit is always guiding you. Okay, this is the next thing. This is the next thing. This is the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the person that you should meet.
Yeah.
It's all, you're busy, man. Like when I really surrendered my life to Christ, my life just went like things that it's almost like, you know what you have to do now.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. It's like I was talking to one of my photoshoot clients. He was telling me, he's like, honestly, man, like everyone's lost. Cause I was like talking about like all these like red pill guys are lost. He's like, honestly, everyone's lost. Mm-hmm. And I was like, looking at him, like, not me, bro. Like,
yeah. I was lost, but now I'm found.
Yeah. I'm not lost.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you guys are.
Yeah.
I know exactly what I need to do on this life. And
that's the best part about finding Christ. It's like now you aimed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have an aim. Before, you didn't have an aim, right? Like Jordan Peterson says, anxiety, when you translate anxiety, I don't know what translation it was, but it's like back in like Latin or something, right? It's when you translate anxiety, it means aimlessness.
Yeah.
It means that you don't actually have an aim. You don't have a target. Right. And that's why you're like anxious, because you're like, do I go this way? Do I go this way? Oh, I want to go this way. But like there's all this stuff here. Everyone has that, especially with social media, too. Even when you start a business, it's like that. You start a business, you're like, I'm gonna go into real estate. And then you go see someone else doing drop shipping and you're like, shoot, should I be doing drop shipping? And then you see someone else doing coaching and you're like, wait, should I do coaching? I should start a podcast.
See, that's the problem with the world, right? They ask the wrong questions. They ask the questions like, what do I want? No. The questions I started asking is, what does God want for me?
Exactly.
What is God's will for my life?
Exactly.
And then that's when it starts hitting you.
There's a certain destiny you have. And if you deny your destiny, then you're limiting your potential of who you can become, but also you're not aligned with the will of God. And you have to walk that destiny, which is so hard because sometimes your destiny that God wants for you is not what you wanted for yourself. And you have to lean in and trust and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It is what it is.
There's a great story that I heard somewhere where this is baseball player. I think it's a true story. I think it's like made into a movie. There's this baseball player. He was going to be like one of the top like baseball players in the world. I forgot the name. And he was going to be like MVP and all that. But while he was in one game, he got injured.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that took him out of the sport completely.
Damn.
But then fast forward years later, he ended up getting into medicine, like medical school, and became like one of the best doctors. And fast forward in the future, he went to a baseball game being one of the top like doctors. I'm not sure if it's like an actual baseball game or a baseball game of like his son or something. But because he was a doctor in watching that baseball game, someone got really injured while playing the game and he's able to save that person's life.
Wow. That's crazy.
The guy's will is like to become an MVP like baseball player.
Mm-hmm.
But God had a bigger plan for him.
Yeah.
And he looked back at his life as like, if that didn't happen, I wouldn't be able to save this guy's life.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. We don't, you know, it says many are the plans of man, but it's the Lord's plan that always prevails. It also says, you know, in the scripture, it's like, no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, and no mind has conceived what God has planned for those who love him. We can try to like do these mental gymnastics to figure out what God's going to do in our life. Truth is, we don't know because no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, no mind has conceived. So how do we walk this path? We need a level of blind faith, trust, right? Obedience. And what you'll realize is that like when it comes to like sin, right? When it comes to sin specifically, what I noticed is that aligning yourself with the word of God is actually better for you. Like when God says don't have sex before marriage, that's like, I used to like rebel against that a lot. Cause I used to be like, bro, how am I supposed to know if I'm sexually compatible with this woman if I don't have sex with her before marriage? Right. It was like a question that was waging on my mind.
Yeah.
But then I realized that every time I would have sex, I would just be like weakening my spirit and strengthening my flesh. And then I allowed other thoughts of the devil to come in and, you know, slither its way into my relationship through fornication. So aligning myself with the word and saying like, okay, God doesn't want me to have sex before marriage. When I started to actually be obedient, now obedience as in like, man, like I'm just going to listen, even though I don't want to listen, pretty rebellious kid. You know, I'm going to listen anyways. I started to realize, I'm like, damn, no, this is actually better for me. And this is the thing, like I read this in one of these books, these Christian books, it's called Purpose Driven Life. And the author says, obedience unlocks understanding that you never knew existed.
Yeah.
Right? So when I was obedient, you know, it really showed me, how those sins were affecting me. But when it comes to God's plan, that's in regards to sin. But when it comes to God's plan, bro, like God's plan for your life is not documented in the Bible. You know what I mean? So there's nothing really to obey in that sense. It's more so an aspect of trust and being led by him. That's why they say, you know, the term, the Holy Spirit will prompt you, right? It will just tell you left, right. It's your GPS.
Yeah. Right. Jesus, take the wheel.
Literally.
Carrie Underwood or something. Is that the right singer?
I don't
know. Jesus, take the wheel.
I think it's Carrie Underwood. Yeah.
But there is some depth to that statement, even, you know. I'm just, you know, Lord, use me. Mm-hmm. I'm just an instrument.
That's it, right? You're just an instrument. You need to know what instrument you are too, right?
Yeah, but that kind of is relaxing to know that, you know, you're in God's hands now.
Yeah, he who dwells in the presence of the Almighty.
Yeah.
No, he who dwells in the presence of the Lord will live in the shadow of the Almighty.
Yeah.
You think of like a shadow, right? Like, let's say there's a big tree.
Yeah.
And there's a shadow right behind it. The shadow, it's almost like God is like standing in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And we are dwelling in the shadow.
Yeah.
Dwelling as in we're living in the shadow. Dwelling comes from the real estate term dwelling, literally to dwell. It's not a place that you rent. It's not a place that you visit. It's a place where you live, where you dwell. You know, so when we dwell in the presence of the Lord, we live in the shadow of the Almighty. How sick is that, bro?
Yeah,
like,
no,
God's just
cool.
God's just riding out for me, man.
Yeah, it reminds me of like Psalm 23. Do you have that memorized?
Psalm 23.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Beautiful verse.
He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Mm-hmm. He refreshes my soul, guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil.
That's so hard, bro. That's so hard.
For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies.
Bro, that's hard.
You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life.
Yeah.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yo, even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil. Bro, how hard is that, bro?
Yo,
that's hard, man.
Who wrote this?
probably David, you know. But yeah, man, there's some fire bars in the Bible.
It was David, yeah, shepherd boy.
Yeah.
Dude.
They say only two people find God. It's the shepherds who know that they know nothing, and it's the wise men who know things but still know that they know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's those two people who find God. Everyone in the middle of the bell curve are just people who are ignorant or people who are prideful.
Yeah. Man, pride is the biggest issue of this today, man. Pride.
Especially with social media, bro. It's hard.
Everyone's about self, me, look at me, like,
yeah,
look how,
there's
look
a whole,
cool.
Like, love yourself movement. It's like, bro, like, one time I posted like, something, I'm like, bro, you guys need to love God before you love yourself. And then, like, I got
like,
all
bro, you're
these
not
comments.
That important. You're literally like a mud creature.
Yeah.
you're like a human being. Like, yeah, you're not that special, man.
People think cold showers are going to save them. It doesn't work like that, bro.
Yeah.
Those are material, carnal thoughts, fleshly thoughts.
Man, there's just verses that hit hard and wakes you up.
Yeah, what are one of your favorite verses?
I have a lot, man.
Man, I've
if you look at my wall, there's like 60 verses on my wall.
All these sticky notes. My favorite verses. Yeah, well, it's actually not a verse. It's like a chapter. Well, not really a chapter, but it says in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 15, Jesus is really sending out the Holy Spirit. He's promising the Holy Spirit. So the disciples are like tripping because they're just like, yo, this guy's going to leave? What do you mean you're going to leave?
It's an Acts?
And then, no, in the book of John.
John?
So the disciples are like confused. They're like, yo, this guy's going to leave. What are we going to do when this guy leaves? And Jesus is like, yo, chill. I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. And they're like confused what the Holy Spirit is. So this is what he says. He's
Holy
like,
what?
Yeah, no. He's like, if you love me and obey my commandments, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't even recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be with you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. And when I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. This is like huge, you know, because I just think about the world. It says the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. Nobody's out here looking for the Holy Spirit, bro. They don't know what that means.
Yeah.
They can't recognize the Holy Spirit. They don't know what that means. And for those who know what they knows what it means, yeah, that Holy Spirit leads them to Christ, you know, and Jesus will reveal himself to them. Every believer Jesus has revealed himself to them one shape, form,
yeah,
or another, right?
Yeah, 100%. I definitely felt like I've had conversations with Jesus where he responds,
mm-hmm,
you know, like hearing God's voice talk to you, telling you what to do. It's like, it's a very distinct feeling of like, you just feel so much love.
Yeah.
And you hear a voice in your head and you're just like, everything's peaceful and everything's clear.
Yeah.
It's almost like a command.
You're cloaked with love. Yeah. You know, it's like you're drowning in love.
I mean, I feel love in the air right now, man. I feel like the Holy Spirit is like cooking.
Yeah. Sometimes sometimes the way I describe like the love of God is like, you know, when you're like in like Mexico, right? And you're like going into the ocean and you're just kind of looking out at the ocean. You're not looking towards the sand. You're looking, you know, towards the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just waves that are just coming, right? And then there's that one big wave that you kind of see like, you know, like maybe like 50 meters away, and you see it and it's coming and you're like getting ready for it because the wave's going to come. And no matter how high you jump, that wave just engulfs you. That's what the love of God feels like.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't even go over it. You know what I mean? It just engulfs me.
Yeah.
And that presence is like peace and love and joy, you know?
And you just want to share it with people.
Yeah.
That's why I started the podcast, dude.
Yeah. There's a scripture. It says, you know, when you find he who finds the kingdom of God, you know, it says, the kingdom of God is like a treasure. Once you find it, you will sell everything you own to keep it. That's how valuable it is.
Yeah.
That's why people who are born again, bro, even if they try to go back to their old life,
they're already seen behind the curtains.
Yeah, they've seen behind the curtains, bro. They know how this story ends, you know? Yeah,
exactly.
So you can't...
It's like, hell is real.
Yeah.
Heaven's real, man.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful. Oof.
Yeah.
You already know what's up. Man, this is...
You listening? Good conversation.
This is really deep, dude. This is
a good conversation. That's good.
I think it's way deeper than me and David's conversation, bro.
Really?
Yeah.
David was probably like, Joe, you gotta do this, and you gotta do this.
Yeah,
you
he was can't very be like
a sissy.
Yeah. He's very like YouTuber, like.
Yeah, David's
YouTuber. No,
David's
but this
pretty
is
hardcore,
deep, dude.
Hardcore guy.
It's a different kind of conversation, but this is more.
Yeah, that's why me and David like we kind of balance each other out. You know, I could definitely take a bit more from David's book, and I think he could take a bit more from my book.
Yeah.
But that's why we're like, you know, trying to work this out, you know?
100%. I mean,
David's a good guy.
Everyone has their own like skills, right? And they put into the table.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's so many Bible verses that I know. Do you have another one that you liked?
Yeah, bro. I have so many, man.
What are the Bible verses that hit? Yeah.
That
really hit.
Ooh. That Holy Spirit one, man. That one hits me at least. There was another one in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." I think so many times we like, when trials, tribulations come our way, just play victim, you know what I mean? But we should look at it as like, okay, like God is always working for me in my best interest. So if this trial or tribulation is here in front of me, like I should really be joyful because this is a great opportunity for my faith to be tested and for me to build endurance. It's kind of like when the stock market drops. Some people look at it as like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my money. Mm-hmm. But you should be looking at it as like, bro, I need to start buying. You know, this stuff's on sale, right? It's an opportunity for joy. Some recession, bro, I'm going to get rich off this. Yeah. You know, the same way your trial, your tribulation, that's where you're like, the greater the suffering, right? And that's why, you know, the scripture always says like, be steadfast, endure, you know, endure the suffering.
In Psalm 118:24, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad.
Be
glad in it.
Yeah.
I think it's enough that we're on this earth, man. It's enough that we wake up this morning.
Yeah.
Being able to participate. And I think you really get to appreciate that, knowing that you have the truth now. You have Jesus now.
Mm-hmm.
You know you're saved. You know you're set for life.
Yeah.
I just want to share this with everyone, bro.
Yeah. That's why you're a Christ promoter now, bro.
Yeah. From club promoter to Christ promoter.
Exactly, yeah. Bro. But that's the thing, right? God will like use people that you never expected, you know, because you have those gifts. You have like the ability to network and stuff like that. He may not use like you really don't know, to be honest, right? And in this season, I think, you know, God's going to do some crazy things, especially even with this podcast. You know, we don't know who's watching. Like, I don't know who's watching, but like, you know, like,
it's actually a lot of people who's watching, bro.
Really? Yeah. Think. That's good, man. Like they're gonna truly see like, okay, this is real. Now here's the thing: what happens though? There also like when Christianity is on the rise, there are gonna be a lot of bandwagoners too. People just come on for the ride and then leave after. But I'm telling you guys, this stuff's real. So like, if you become born again through this podcast, right? I don't know, you know, through the Spirit working through it. If you become born again and you know things start to happen in your life. One thing you got to know is that there's no going back. And the second thing you got to know is that you have to look death in the face. You have to look death in the face, right? Death is coming. You have to die to yourself every day. And it's not easy. We can have these amazing conversations, but like the second we go back into our lives and, you know, we go back to those secret places, you know, where God knows and we know what we're doing wrong. And God knows, it's like, oh, you shouldn't have said that, or you should have said this, or you have to be careful here, or whatever. That's where the real testing happens, the spiritual warfare happens.
Yeah. 100%. Man, I'm still taking all the verses in, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a lot,
I
know why, bro.
It puts me in this trance, man.
It does.
I feel like, I told my friends this, every time I read the Bible or read some profound verse, I feel like I'm downloading a software update in my brain.
100%. That's what it is.
I just get upgraded. Like my faith gets upgraded.
Starts with your thoughts.
You're now on the next level.
Yeah.
You're like a new machine each time. Yeah. You feed your spirit with the word.
I am the bread of life. That's what Christ says. Yeah. What do we say in the Our Father? Give us this day our daily bread.
True.
We need Christ every day. We need to eat him. Literally, why? Like, what is the symbolism of that? When I eat him, I ingest him. When I ingest him, he's in my body. I'm a reflection of what is inside. So I need Christ inside. What does that ingestion look like? Okay, from the Catholic perspective, right? We are taking the bread and we are physically materializing that spiritual reality into a physical ritual where we ingest the bread, right? Yeah. But what could that look like for a Pentecostal? It could be from reading scripture every day, having these conversations.
Yeah.
Imagine, bro, just think about this, bro. Like imagine like you're it's a summer day. Okay. It's Banna weekend. Okay. Carabana weekend in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Long weekend. Everybody's out. People are going to Banna, catching some bubbles. People are going to Veld, you know, during that weekend. And you're like with your boys, you're like, yo, let's pull up to the beach and let's like read some scripture. Imagine like, you know, the level, like some people are getting high off the weed. Some people are getting high off the, or drunk off the spirit of alcohol. That's why they call it spirits, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then you're out here like, we getting drunk off the Holy Spirit, bro. That's what it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we don't have enough people that we can do that with. Imagine you start creating that group of friends, those guys, you start linking up with guys you never talked to. Like we just met today.
Yeah.
Right? No. This is our first real conversation.
Yeah.
You know, so like, imagine you start linking up with guys. Just think about the potential of what your life could, how your life could be nourished if you had those people in your life.
Yeah, we gotta make Christianity cool, man.
Yeah, you know? But see, that's the thing. It's never gonna be cool. It's never gonna be cool.
I think it's so cool, bro. What do you mean?
I, as a believer, it's cool, but to a non-believer, it is the most uncool thing.
That's why we need to come in and change. Because like, I look at what they do, it's like, you guys are not cool at all. In the sense that you guys are weak. You guys are all slaves to your desires.
Yeah.
You guys are weak.
Yeah.
You know, this is the next level. Like for the red pill guys, you guys think you're like, oh, macho, like cold showers. Yeah. I get so many girls. I'm like, try not getting any girls. And let's see you do that first.
Yeah.
And be it on your own will. Because a lot of guys like, don't get girls.
Yeah.
Due to like inexperience and like, you know, it's not even their own will. Right. Mm-hmm. But like, be in a position where you can get girls, but you say no to them.
Yeah. That's why they have the saying, it's better to be a warrior in a garden than a gardener at war, right? Even when that principle, that symbolism, it's all aspects of life. Think about it. Like, you have two warriors, okay? They come to a war. The first warrior pulls out a sword and just starts, like, killing everybody, just cutting off people's heads, just going ham. Man has like 100 kills, okay? The second warrior, he comes in, just walks on the battlefield. He doesn't even pull out his sword, but everyone's like, oh, I don't want to. I'm sorry. Begging for mercy. Who's a stronger warrior? It's the guy who didn't have to pull out his sword. He carries a different level of authority. In the same way, who's stronger? Who's more financially secure? The guy who has millions of dollars and is flexing and this, that, whatever? Or is it the guy who has millions of dollars in the bank, but comes off like he doesn't have anything? There's more power in being able to have it and not show it.
Real power is restraint.
Exactly. What about the guy who is a womanizer, right? Who has the ability, if he really wanted to get any girl, but he chooses to be with one and he chooses to be loyal. That's so much harder.
Yeah.
You know, it's actually way harder in my opinion.
Or that guy is be like, I'm saving myself for Jesus.
Yeah.
Nope.
For real.
If you want to have short-term pleasure, go for a little weaklings over there.
Yeah.
You know, that don't have self-control and don't believe in God.
That's what it is, right?
It's not my problem.
The people who don't have self-control will chill with the people who don't have self-control.
Yeah. It's ultimate self-control. Man. You know, that's what I mean about like making it cool. Because they see, like, society is like flipped. They think what good is like, good is bad and bad is good in society these days, right?
The book of Ecclesiastes says that there's nothing new under the sun. These things are always there. These things have always existed. Our forefathers already knew this stuff. They told us this stuff. It's just, we're just listening now, you know? Like, even in the book of, bro, I'm on fire right now. Can't even lie. Like, I'm just like all these thoughts are coming to me. But there's, in the book of Timothy, right? Let me find it. 2 Timothy, verse 1-5, okay? It says this. You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends. They will be reckless. They will be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. 2,000 years ago, bro. 2,000 years ago. You think about that, it literally touched on everything. They will slander others. Look at cancel culture today. They will hate what is good, right? Just like what you said. They will be puffed up with pride. Social media, right? They will betray their friends. The only reason why we talk about the word snake is because what? Everyone's getting betrayed by everybody. cheating happening in relationships, a betrayal happening in friendships. Why do we call it snake? Because there's a symbolism there. That word holds a spiritual symbolism. Snake.
Snake, yeah.
Boastful, proud, scoffing at God. People scoff at God all the time. I don't need God, right? Disobedient to their parents. Who even obeys their parents these days? Think about that. I don't know, man. Yeah. Lovers of them only themselves and their money. That's what we're in right now, right? No self-control. They love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm spiritual. Or, you know, I'm a Christian, right? Or I'm a Hindu or whatever they say. They'll act religious, but they won't acknowledge the power that's within that religion, the power that's within the spirit. These are the Christians who, like, are saying they're Christian. Oh, yeah, I'm Catholic. Oh, yeah, my parents are Christian. I'm Christian. They're the same people that on Hinge, they say Christian, you know, on Hinge. Christian, non-smoker. Yo, what's the good news? There was a girl, okay? Take this in.
Name a Bible verse.
Broski. There was a time where I was on Hinge. And I went on, like, 15 dates in a month. And on these dates, like, I wanted to see, like, if I could get back in the game, you know? Let me see what's up. And I would just go on these coffee dates. And I would match with girls who said Christian, right? On their Hinge profile. What's the good news? What? Good news? So what would you describe the good news as? What good news? Oh, I saw that it said like Christian in your thing. That's why I swiped. You know? So like what would you describe as the good news? No flipping clue. No flipping clue. So if we got Christians who don't even know what the good news is, like how do we say we're Christians? And bro. I used to be like this because my dad was Hindu. My dad is Hindu. My mom is Christian. I would go to people and I would say, I'm half-half. As if I was half black, half white. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like as if I was mixed. Like you could be mixed ethnically, but you can't be mixed religiously.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
No, people don't know what Christianity means these days.
They don't know the power it holds.
Kind of want to make a video of like me just like us like going down the street. Have you seen like Do You Believe in Jesus like kind of videos?
No.
But basically just like going up to people and just asking them, are you Christian? Okay, name a Bible verse.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder how
it would
many Christians
so many people.
How many Christians would be like, oh yeah, this is my favorite Bible verse.
Yeah.
So they're like, nope, I've never opened a Bible. And that was me like 3 months ago. I've been a Christian for over 25 years. Never 26 years. 100%. Never opened the Bible. No one told me to open a Bible.
That should be like a requirement. Like yeah. that should be like the first thing, man. You know what I mean? It's like I don't know, man. It's like when you like go play basketball, like the first thing like you do on the court is like learn to dribble or yeah. you know, it's like
basics of life, yeah.
It's basic.
Man should not live on bread alone.
Exactly.
But by everywhere that comes from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's facts.
So, yeah, dude. How long have we been filming? 135?
135.
That's cool.
Damn.
That's a long episode, bro. Dude,
it's good, though. It's good.
This is it's definitely a good conversation, man.
You got questions?
Oh, yeah.
You guys got questions?
Yeah, do you guys have questions? Nita was asking what made you switch from a club promoter to a Bible biblical fanatic. We already pretty much answered that.
Mm-hmm.
To keep it short, though, is I found Jesus. Jesus saved my life from taking my path down the wrong path. And I'm eternally grateful for that. And I give the rest of my life to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Spreading the gospel.
Yeah, same thing, bro. Like when God touches your life. You don't really have a choice, to be honest. Like, you do have a choice, but, like, it's like the pull of God is so strong that it's just wiser to just walk with God than against God.
Yeah. You know? It's the thing. You realize, like, how little power you have, like, without God.
Mm-hmm.
And when God comes in your life and takes over, you're like, wow, where were you all my life? Mm-hmm. He was always there. I was just rejecting him. Mm-hmm. Ion8 Productions asking, have you ever hit rock bottom? If so, how did you overcome it? Yeah, I've hit many rock bottoms in the past. One rock bottom was getting my heart broken by my ex, being in that toxic relationship. it was my fault though, all of it. But how did I overcome it? Just like my faith. Mm-hmm. Honestly, Jesus saved my life too. Mm-hmm. Actually, it was mostly him. Mm-hmm. But yeah, how about you? Have you ever hit rock
bottom? Yeah, yeah. Hit rock bottom, you know, many times as well. I think the reason you visit rock bottom is because you're too prideful. You know, you figure, yo, if I hit rock bottom, like, okay, like, it's just the ambitious alpha male in you that's kind of like, maybe I can get it out myself, you know?
Whoever exalts himself will be humbled.
Yeah, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted, right? So at a certain point, I had to realize that, like, you know, I need to let God do a work in me versus me trying to do a work in me. Mm-hmm. And then that submission and that obedience, still working on it every day. I'm not perfect, and I'm never going to be perfect, but yeah, that submission and that obedience was like the real tough part for me. My ego was too high. Yeah.
Question from Mr. David Hammond.
David?
Losing friends as a Christian, dating as a Christian, family not agreeing with you, etc.
Yeah.
You want to answer that first?
Yeah, yo, my family actually, like, they're actually, like, proud of me, I think. Yeah, I think that they weren't as, like, as against it. My mom, she's pretty religious, you know, so she was pretty, like, she supports me in that. My sister is kind of like, okay, he's doing his thing, right? My dad's kind of like, okay, he's doing his thing. But friends? Yo, friends, like, friends, yeah, that was a lot of loss. I feel like I just experienced, like with the relationship, it was like a breakup, right? Heartbreak. But fam, friends, there's a lot of heartbreak involved with friends too.
Yeah.
You know, that was
trust me, when you find those relationships, like, for example, I feel like we've known each other, like, for much longer,
just by the conversation, right?
Yeah, because we're on the same kind of, like, level.
Well,
we
share the same father. We're like siblings, if anything.
Yeah, it feels more like siblings. Yeah. Even with girls, I've been meeting like more Christian girls lately. As when I started like owning up to my faith more.
Yeah.
And
there are good ones out there.
Yeah, they're good, dude. It's like, because there's no godly guys out there.
Yeah.
So when they meet,
I feel bad for them. Still.
Yeah. When they meet someone who's confident and who's also a man of God, it's like, you know,
changes things for them.
Yeah. Which comes to the next question, dating as a Christian.
Yo, hard. I would say, like, with the situation I'm in, right, definitely a challenge, I would say. Definitely a challenge. But that being said, I think every relationship is going to have its challenges. And the main thing is putting God at the center of your relationship and keeping God there. Putting him there and keeping him there. If he's getting out of the center of the relationship and he's not getting the glory in your relationship, then it's not the right relationship. And that's something you got to figure out with the girl you're with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dating as a Christian is definitely, I wouldn't say harder, because I've never really had problems dating.
Are you dating right now?
No.
Okay.
I'm not really aiming for a girlfriend right now. Maybe if like the perfect girl comes along and she can, you know, like I'm on a boat heading somewhere, she can ride along, you know. Mm-hmm. She won't be a priority because God is my priority right now. I'm open to it. I'm not completely cutting myself off. But here's the thing you're going to realize. You lose a lot of options when you're a Christian, right? Because like almost every girl is like a worldly woman.
Yeah.
You know, they're not like saved by Jesus. So I actually, in a way, get rejected by a lot of girls, a lot more girls.
Yeah.
Because so every time I like hang out with a girl, I'm just talking about the Bible, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, that's all I want. That's my screening process.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, like you said, it's like, what do you think of, you know, do you believe in God? Like, these are the questions I want to ask, because I don't want to waste my time trying to please someone who's not in line with my values, man.
Now, the thing is like, you know, I do think it depends on the girl, because like some, like, well, modern women, right? Like, they're just mad rebellious, you know? So they don't even want to hear that from you. Like, there was a girl, I told her, I'm like, when I was first talking to her, I was like, I want to have sex before marriage. Let me tell you, there was no second date. Like,
she said, I want to have sex before marriage.
That was it. And that was the line. I was like, okay,
Yeah.
This girl wanted that more than the. She didn't even try to get to know me because she just knew that there's no way I'm going without sex before marriage. But it was intimidating for her. But here's the thing. You meet a godly man, you have godly standards now. And as a woman, like, I don't know if you're up for the challenge. I'll even tell women. I'll be like, yo, I don't know if you're really built for this life. And it might be wiser for you to leave me right now. Because if you are committing to this, like, there's a heavenly kingdom standard we have to live by.
You know, it's speaking of, like, club references, it's like heaven is, you know, there's a tight, strict policies for heaven, you know?
Yeah.
You can't just walk in. You got to pay the cover.
Exactly. You got to pay the cover.
Pay the cover, wait in line. Like, you know, and the line's very long and hard and tough and a lot of sacrifices, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what makes it special. It's what makes you special as a Christian. Like,
I would even go as far to say that, you know, that Jesus actually paid the cover for you to get that VIP access.
Yeah.
But you're too like, no, I want to do my, I want my booth over here. It's like, bro, like you don't even know the booth that God has for you. You know?
Yeah, I know.
It's like gold mint condition, you know, like all these beautiful godly women bringing you like holy water, you know?
like exactly.
And then you're out here like selling for the dinky,
the hot dog stand outside.
Yeah, the like, hot dog
no, I want
stand.
The hot dog stand. Yeah. It's so much pleasure to like eat hot dogs.
Yeah.
Hot dogs. But yeah. No, but that's such a good reference though. It's like, you know, like that's heaven is like the VIP of the VIP.
And it's paid for. It's paid for.
It's like Jesus is the special like access.
Yeah.
You know, once you have the secret like access, then you're good.
Yeah, and then once you go to that booth, I don't know. We're really running with this reference, but like, once you go to that booth, right? You're like, wow, this is an experience that I've never could even imagined being in this experience.
What was I doing?
Do you think you would ever go back to door three? Like, you're not. You know what I mean?
Don't go back to door three.
Don't go back to door three. But like, if you experience that, right? You're not going to like, you know. You're not even going to desire those other things. You're going to be like, how can I get more of this? It's like, I didn't even get drunk. I didn't even get, like, I got lit off the spirit, but I had a way better time.
Yeah.
You know, a way better time. Yeah, I feel good about myself.
Okay. Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, man. What's, how you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, do you have any questions for me?
Yeah, bro. Like, so, like, okay, tell me about, like, you know, I honestly should have started with this, to be honest, but, like, tell me about, like, the mission here, you know, like, what, like, the next, like, 3 to 5 years, you know, we have all these cameras here, we have this podcast here, like, what are we really trying to achieve here? You know, what's the goal?
Well, I don't really know, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I'm just trusting and obeying God's commands, just focusing on the next thing. I don't really know. Like, we didn't... Like, if you asked me, like, 3 weeks ago, we didn't even, like, think about starting a podcast. Or maybe, like, a month ago, I had no idea I was going to start a podcast about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
I had all the skills, all the equipment to do it, and I just felt the calling to spread the word. By the way, I only became a Christian, like, 2-3 months ago.
Yeah.
I'm like the babiest of the Christians. I have no idea. I only started reading the Bible maybe like last month.
Mm-hmm.
So
fresh.
I'm very fresh, man. And now I just want to kind of share and document what I'm learning and what I'm going through, because I think it'll benefit a lot of people. And I see people going the wrong path. I can maybe lead them.
Yeah. And I think people young women too, you know, it says in the book of Amos, it says there will be a time where there will be a famine, but not a famine of water and bread, but a famine to hear the words of God.
Yeah.
There's going to be a time, and I believe we're in that time right now, where people are just like, they're waiting to hear the words of God. You know, sometimes when I go to the gym and like I see some guy I know and I like tell him like some scripture, or like I just start preaching to this kid randomly, he's like, yo, man, I really need to hear that, man. Like, thank you so much. You'll give me, like, a hug. And I'm like, yeah, bro, like, you're going to be all good and whatever, right? It's like, people are really, we're living in a time where people need this. They need the encouragement. They need that. They need to experience the love of Christ, not the love of Buddha, not the love of Muhammad, the love of Christ. They need to experience the love of Christ. And I think that, you know, what you're doing right now, I really rate it. You know, even what me and David are trying to do, you know, we're really just about like, hey, the time is now.
Yeah.
The time is now to pick up your, you know, pick up your cross, not pick up your sword, but pick up your cross and follow Christ. And when people, when young people see guys like us who are just like them, I talk just like you, I walk just like you, you know, you're going to really realize that this is more real than you think it is. It's not what your parents told you. You know, you're hearing it from a different voice. You're hearing it from people of your generation.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes sense. Yeah, man.
It's a good pod.
Thank you. Thank you for coming in. Yeah. Honestly, like the reason why I want to bring guys in who are more experienced in the faith to learn from as well. I'm learning so much from you too. Yeah. So yeah, that's a part of my journey.
It's lit.
And hopefully a lot of the viewers got a lot of value from it. But guys, thank you so much for watching Christ Pilled Podcast episode 5. And subscribe and hit the notification bell if you like the content so you don't miss anything. Check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well if you just want to have an audio experience. And follow us on Instagram. My Instagram is at RealMateusGabriel and at ChristPilledPod. And our TikTok's ChristPilledPodcast. And I'm sure we'll also be on Rumble probably in the near future.
Rumble.
Yeah. So do you want to plug your
social? Yeah. You guys, if you guys, you know, want to follow me, my Instagram is at LifeWithADrizzy. And my YouTube is at LifeWithADrizzy as well. I post a lot of videos on, you know, your walk with Christ, how to become a better warrior of Christ. And I do offer coaching as well. So if you are someone who is interested in getting coached or mentored by myself, you know, I have a bunch of coaching packages. You could just DM me and we can go from there.
Cool.